came to church hoping to have a nice, light conversation. That's already out the window. You watch this video and you realize that sometimes we just have to take some time and have a reality check. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking about the persecuted church. The reason we're doing that is next Sunday, November 3rd, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. It's when believers all around the world are asked to pray for those who are persecuted. So we are looking at this time as we're moving into a next series next week, taking some time to talk about that, to understand what life really is like. For what I believe is the majority of believers in the world. You know, we project on people what we go through, what we think. We tend to think, you know, wherever someone is, it doesn't matter if they're living in California or down the South or right in Albany, we tend to think that they're just like us because that's who we are, and we tend to project who we are on other folks. Christians, we do that a lot. We tend to think that the way we have it is the way it is around the world. And, you know, we've been blessed greatly in America. Matter of fact, you know, like 83% of money is being sent for missions comes out of America. America is a very blessed nation, and I believe God has used America in a tremendous way to spread His word, to spread His gospel. People in these other countries where persecution has taken place, they've heard about it in many times because people have gone there risking their lives. We go back, we think of Elliot. Right, went down in Central America, gave his life back in the 50s. Talked about, what was his famous quote? He who is no fool who give up what he can attain to gain what he can't normally get. It's not perfectly quoted. But he understood that this life that we live in, that we have now, isn't forever. This is just temporary. Throughout Scripture, we see that our lives, it's a mist. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's a wave. Once it crashes, it's gone. But we tend to live how? We live as if there is no tomorrow. We live as people who it's all about us. Everything God has given us tends to be for us. Now, granted, I want you to know that generously, the church in America, 83% of missions is funded. That's good. But you know what we're doing? We tend to give in our seconds, our leftovers. You know, we have just people who call themselves believers in America, they have the ability financially to take care of water and hunger and medicine around the world within a year. We could wipe out poverty. We could wipe out. We have the financial ability. Now, whether or not we could get through all the power structures in some of these nations, and we know a lot of times things are given away, and they take it because they're corrupt and probably not any more corrupt than we are in our nation. But we have the finances to do it. And you know what? We wouldn't have to change any way that we're living. We would still live at the same standard. But this idea of the persecuted church, did that surprise anyone today when you watched that little video? It came out of Voice of the Martyrs, by the way. If you want to go look that up, look up Voice of the Martyrs. You can find ways that you can pray for and care for brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted. Was that surprising to you? To see that people, for the sake of their faith, what does it cost us to be a follower of Jesus? Can't think of anything. It really hasn't cost me anything to be a follower of Jesus. My family still loves me. I was raised in a family to know Jesus. Probably a lot of us were. Now, some of you here today, maybe your family may think you're a little squirrely because you say you follow Jesus. Maybe there is some of that you've experienced. But for the most part, we can live our day-to-day normal lives and still be a follower of Jesus, and it doesn't affect us. Around the world, though, it's a little bit different. Would you be a follower of Jesus if you knew, if you started following this Jesus, that your family would no longer accept you? Not only would they not accept you, they may look to kill you. Would you? I don't know. I'd like to sit here and say, I'm a pastor. Of course I would do it. I'm special. But I don't know. What if it meant if you became a Christian and you lost your job, your source of income for your family? What if it meant you lost your home, you were put out of the village, the town, the city you lived in? Would you still follow Jesus? See, these are decisions that people have to think about, especially where the body of Christ is growing, where people are coming to know Christ in a greater number. These are decisions people follow. What's that say to you? To me, it says, boy, there must be some sort of authenticity to their faith. Why would you do that if it wasn't real? Why would you give up your home, your family, your livelihood, maybe your life, for a lie? You think about what's the pastor's name in Iran? American pastor, he's in Iran. Say that again. What she said. Abedini. Pastor Abedini. I don't even know if I still said it right. How long has he been in prison?
Going on 2 years.
And how many people in that prison have now come to Christ?
They said 30.
Yeah. Over 30 people who were in that prison with him, who were there for other reasons, now are followers of Jesus. 30 souls who didn't know Jesus before are now going to be, now their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it worth that price? Is it worth it? I bet you he would say, yeah. It's interesting, you hear reports from people in the persecuted church, people who are being persecuted, and you know what they ask us to pray for? If I was being persecuted, my prayer would be, hey, ask God to get me out of here, okay? Just provide a way out. You know, there's got to be some way to get out of here. Do you know what the persecuted church prays for? They say, don't pray that we won't be persecuted. Pray that we'll stand in the midst of the persecution. Pray that we will honor God even while we're being persecuted. That blows me away. We've been talking this whole year, it seems like. It comes up every conversation that I'm up here talking. I talk about a thing called comfort. We listened to David Platt last spring when we went through this radical series. Kyle Edelman talked about it a little bit in this Gods of War series. These things within us that we desire so much. And for me, comfort is a big one. I like to be comfortable. And we kind of say, yeah, I'm going to follow God, you know, but don't call into question my comfort. I was with some pastors on Friday. We had a Capital District Ministers Fellowship, and Actually, we had this fellow, David Abraham, came. He is a Christian, third-generation Christian from Pakistan. He grew up in Pakistan. He ended up leaving because they were threatening him. The Muslims were threatening him there, and they actually placed a bomb near his house. So for the protection of his family, he ended up coming to America. He went for almost 3 years. Actually, went over 3 years. He had a little boy that was born. He was about 2 weeks old when he left, and he didn't see him for 3 years. Because he was a threat to his family being there as a Christian. We went out to lunch afterwards, and we got talking about comfort. We got talking about food, and we got talking about these different things. Hey, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, but don't ask me to fast. You know, come on now. I got this other God I got to feed. But we don't like hearing those things. I'm going to watch another video here. Let me set the stage a little bit. It's kind of a little dramatization. Afterwards, at the end of it, we're going to hear the man speaking. He was in prison for 15 years. This man is in northern Laos. He was a part of the communist regime, moving up and had a good job. He came to know Jesus. And it transformed his life, where he started sharing his friends, his relatives, people he worked with. He ends up going to prison because of his faith and spends 15 years in prison. Let's watch the video.
I don't know why they didn't shoot me. The interrogations are the only time I am out of solitary. I am losing hope and fear I have been forgotten. I recite Bible verses to myself, but the words are getting harder and harder to remember. I can handle the torture, the starvation, but I desperately need my Bible. Every day I pray over and over for God to give me a Bible. Now I have my chance. The interrogations have ended, and the guards trust me to go into the jungle to gather firewood. Working as fast as I can, I will collect 2 days' worth of firewood. I'll bring one bundle back. I leave the second bundle in the woods. This is what I need to do. It is very risky, but God is answering my prayer. I will risk everything to have a Bible. Thank you. I don't want to leave my wife, but I have to, or she will be in danger. Leaving her is so hard. God has answered my prayer. I have a Bible, but I must be careful. They found my Bible, but I would not give up. I will bring in more Bibles. I will read God's word every chance I get. Then the letters came. Letters from me. Letters from Christians all over the world. God not only answered my prayer for a Bible, He let me know I am not forgotten.
แล้วก็ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณพี่น้องทั่วโลกที่อธิษฐานอ้อนวอนเพื่อโอ้และก็หมู่คู่พี่น้องทั่วโลก
For a Bible. I gotta tell you, I've watched this, I don't know how many times, four or five times, and I'm just thinking, every time I'm thinking, man, you had a plan. Obviously, God, who loves you so much and cares about your comfort and cares about making you feel good, provided a way. Right? He had the plan, cut 2 days' worth of wood, take the second day, run and get, take off. What do you mean, grab your Bible and go back? Didn't God provide an open door? I don't know the situation. Maybe he couldn't get his wife and get away where he wouldn't be found. I don't know. But did you check it out? He spent 10 years in prison after he received his Bible. 10 years after, you know, I would have been thinking, hey, God provided an open door. Jay, get out of here. Who cares about anybody else? It's about your comfort. But we kind of go that way in America, don't we? We tend to be thinking about that. If God really loves us, then things will go the way I want them to go. I have everything I need. There's a there's a guy on TV, if you watch him. I won't mention his name. His last name is a kind of a monetary symbol, all right? But he tells people, he says, hey, look, your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He wants you to bless you. You need to go down to that Cadillac dealership and sit in that Escalade that God's going to give you. Really? That's not how God works. God says, my strength is sufficient for you. A couple weeks ago, I was able to share with you all, and we looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're talking about this idea of leaving boldly. It was the end of the 1 month to live, and we looked at verse 7. In verse 7, Paul says, you live by what you believe. What you believe impacts, directs, empowers how we live. And the question's got to come that I've got to ask is, Jay, by the way I live my life, what do I really believe? We've said that too, right? You know, show me your checkbook, I'll show you what your priorities are. Right? You've heard that before. How we live our life is an indication of what we really believe. Belief isn't just some mental thought. It's about what we entrust our lives to. This man here, what did he entrust his life to? It was to a heavenly Father who cared for him and loved him. And no matter what, he was going to follow him. He's going to get the scriptures so he knows more of God and is encouraged by God. I love the last scene in there about the letters. I never got it. My mom, she would write letters to prisoners in persecuted areas. And I remember going down and mailing them for her, and I'm thinking, what's this going to do? Voice of the Martyrs. Go check out Voice of the Martyrs. You can come up with addresses of people that you can write to, our brothers and sisters who encourage them. But you see, we've got to come to this point of understanding that God is more concerned not about our comforts, not about our wants, not about all these things, but Him and our relationship with Him. That's first and foremost and really all that matters. And how we live our lives indicates our relationship with Him. A friend of mine, pastor up at Calvary Tabernacle, sister church of ours. Different denomination and have some different beliefs than we have, but they're a sister church. They're followers of Jesus. Just like these people around the world, they're brothers and sisters of ours. We're connected to them. They're just not some people out there. They're part of our family. Al Tompkins, he went to a Muslim nation this last summer. Can't say where he went or the city he went to, because we put this stuff online and he could get people who he was visiting in trouble, basically. But he went there and he has this really neat story to tell. And Pastor Al was in here about a week ago and we interviewed him. Let's see what Pastor Al had to say.
Last summer I had the opportunity to go overseas and participate with some pastors in a fellowship time. And they shared how they came to Christ. They shared what the ministry was, and then they shared what the focus of that ministry, and then how we might be able to pray for them. So I remember this one pastor sharing how he had come to Christ as a young man, and how the Lord was just working in his life. And he pastored for a while, and the Lord called him to go into this Muslim area and to tell people about Jesus. So he went to that area, and he told them about Jesus. And the people, this Muslim group, they just attacked him, and they beat him severely. One of the converted Muslims came through and pulled this pastor out of that group. And said, we've got to get you to the hospital. And the pastor said, you know, he realized what was happening, but he didn't realize he was beat so severely. So they took him to the hospital. He spent several days in the hospital. While he was in the hospital, he questioned the Lord. He said, Lord, what was that about? He says, you called me to go and speak there. And so I went and I spoke and they attacked me. And you know, like that small still voice just spoke to his heart and reminded him, this pastor, that the Lord's saying, you're my servant. And you'll go where I tell you to go. I will keep you. And After that, the pastor, he got out of the hospital. He went to a different location, went and shared with other Muslims, and they attacked him and beat him in severely. And they were they didn't want to kill him in the street, he said, take his life in the street. So they were taking him to an alleyway. And so as they were taking him to the alleyway, he said that he was he felt like a coward, and he said he was afraid. And he began to pray. And as he prayed, asking the Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do? Again, the Lord spoke to him and said, just start talking. And so as these guys were dragging him along, taking him into this alleyway, he starts talking. And as he starts talking, the ones that were the antagonizers in the front just disappeared. He said, I don't know where they went. They just disappeared. And then there was another group that was there, and they were walking along with him. And as he continued to talk, he said their whole demeanor changed. They wanted to help him. They tried to bandage up of some of the wounds. They led him out another way out of the alleyway, and there were several of them that came to know the Lord. And my pastor friend, he left and did ministry in another place.
Pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild. True testimony. That's why I wanted Al to tell you the story. Imagine this guy, though. God tells you to go do something. Go over here and preach. What are you expecting is going to happen when you get over there and you start telling people about Jesus? Well, God sent me there. Obviously, they're going to be wanting to know about Jesus. And they beat him up? Bad enough to be put in the hospital? I'd be asking God some questions. God, what are you doing here? And God did what? Said to him what? Hey, I'm God. You just need to do what I tell you to do. You got to trust me. See, the Apostle Paul, this fella here, he understood something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see God, with his mercy, gave us a work. Gave us a work to do so we don't give up. Who did God give a work to? Pastor Greg, myself. Right? Gave us the work. Is that what he said? God in his mercy gave pastors this work to do. No. Let me ask you. Gave who? I can't hear you. Gave who? Us. Let's say that. Let's say that with me. God gave us a work to do. Let's change it. Matter of fact, let's take us and let's put me. God gave me a work to do. Every one of us. So, we don't give up. Down a little further in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure from God. What's the treasure from God? Come on, tell me. What's the treasure from God? Can't hear you. The Spirit, Jesus, Him. You know, I'm glad you just didn't come out with just salvation. Even though you just said it, it's okay. That's good too. Salvation's good too. He gave himself to us. God is the benefit. God is the treasure. We have him. That's the treasure in us. He goes, but we're like clay jars that hold treasure. I got to tell you, the first thing I think about when I see clay jars, do you remember back when you were in elementary school? Come on. You remember? If we had to put these things together, I don't know, maybe they thought there was a cup, maybe we thought there was an ashtray or something like that. And, oh, they were the ugliest looking things. Come on. I got a witness here, right? You all agree with me? You know, maybe you put them in the kiln and they cracked, they had air in them or something. except for Miss Chris. She can do it real good. You still have a kiln in your house, don't you? Yeah, you want something, she can do it. The rest of us, though, you know, they look like these things. Maybe those things look good compared to what we did. But God's saying we are those clay jars. Cracked pots. I don't know. This shows us that the great power is from God. We have troubles all around us. Anyone here have troubles around them? Anybody? I know some of the troubles that you all have around you. But we're not defeated. We do not know what to do. Never been there? Are you there today? I don't know what to do, God. Well, what's Paul say? But we do not give up the hope of living. I wish this verse wasn't in there. We are persecuted. But God does not leave us. We're hurt sometimes. Actually, probably a better translation, we're crushed. But we're not destroyed. We carry, remember I talked about that treasure? We carry the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the life of Jesus can also be seen in our bodies. The death and life of Jesus is in us. The treasure of God Himself is in us. We are alive. But for Jesus, we're always in danger of death so that the life of Jesus can be seen in our bodies that die. So death is working in us, but life is working in you. Boy, didn't the disciples, the apostles, live this out? Do you know the apostles, they had lots of opportunities to back away from their faith. Every one of them was persecuted. All of them except for John was martyred, killed for their faith. And all they had to do was say, that's it, I don't believe in Jesus, and they lived. But they went to their graves. People don't die for a lie. The Apostle John was persecuted. He was literally immersed in boiling oil. And somehow he didn't die. He was just put on this island in a cave. Maybe it would have been better to die. God had a purpose for him, right? That's where he wrote Revelation. Jesus came and spoke to him. Inspired by the Spirit of God, he writes out Revelation to encourage us. Verse 13, it is written in the Scriptures, I believe, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe and we speak. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and we know that God will also raise us with Jesus. God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before Him. All these things are for you, and so the grace of God that is being given to more and more people will bring increasingly thanks to God for His glory. Verse 16. So we do not give up. Our physical bodies is becoming older and weaker. Tell me about that. Oh my goodness. I'm glad John's back out of the hospital, John. So you're there Tuesday night. I went and played basketball with these kids on Tuesday night. I couldn't walk the next 2 days. You talk about your bodies getting older and weaker. My goodness. But our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while, but they're helping us to gain eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. How many of you are facing small troubles? How many of you are facing big troubles? You know what Apostle Paul is saying about your big troubles you're facing right now? They're small. Their God is going to use them. What did he say here? To gain eternal glory that is much greater. God's using these small troubles. We set our eyes on not on what we see, but on what we can't see. What we see will only last a short time. Your small troubles will only last a short time. But they're going to create in you something that lasts forever. This eternal reward that God has for us, which we can't see now. That's coming. We're going to have that. I got just a couple more scriptures with you that I want to share with you. My thing just went dark here, so bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I've used this verse a lot. Try to encourage people. Michonne, what you're going through now, God's allowing you to go through so you can be a comfort to someone else. That's true, by the way. God loves us and other people enough so that we can go through these things so that we can then help other people. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father of all. He is full of mercy and all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gives us. We share in the many sufferings of Christ. In the same way, much comfort comes to us through Christ. If we have troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we have comfort, it is also you also have comfort. This helps you to accept patiently the same sufferings we have. Our hope is for you. Our hope for you is strong, knowing that you will share in our sufferings and also in the comfort received. Hey, you know what? This is a lie. You know, when you really come to know Jesus, you don't have any more sufferings. No! You hear that stuff, that's not true. Matter of fact, folks, you need to begin to prepare yourself. One thing the persecuted church prays for us, they pray for us. They're praying for us today. They're praying for you today. And you know what one of their prayers is? You're not going to like this. Sit down. Or you're sitting down. They're praying that we might be persecuted. Why in the world would anybody wish that upon us? So that our faith may grow. And it may be like that of Jesus, who also was persecuted, who also suffered, that we would become like Jesus in every way. Paul said here that we'd suffer the same sufferings that Jesus suffered. So this idea of being a follower of Jesus and everything goes right in your life is totally wrong. Matter of fact, you follow Jesus, the more you follow Jesus, the more likely things are going to get tougher in your life. Following Jesus isn't for wimps. It's hard. We continue on in verse 8. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. Paul's saying here, we had great burdens. There were more that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up hope of living. He thought, what we're facing here is so bad, we're going to die. Matter of fact, we would rather die. Truly, in our own hearts, we believed we would die. But this happened so we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. Does God love you enough to allow these things to happen in your life so that you don't longer trust yourself, but have to trust God? Some of you know about my brother and sister-in-law. Chris has had cancer, been battling it for 2.5 years. And thank you, Jesus. He may be going to see him very soon. Their body's getting weaker. But that's the hope we have. That's good. I was sitting talking with her and some of her family, and this last week, I guess, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I happened to be in the shower, and I was thinking about this, like, hey, I'm ready to go, God. But then, you know what happened? I happened to think of, what about my kids? What about my wife? Who's going to be there to take care of them? And then I had this thought, I think it came from God, He goes, will you have to trust me any more then than you do now to care for your kids? Who are you deceiving, Jay? Do you really believe you're the one who takes care of your kids? Your family? No. Matter of fact, God, Paul says, allow these difficult things to come in our life so that we don't trust ourselves anymore, but we only trust God. Not only that, but we trust God who raises people from the dead. God saves us from these great dangers of death, and he'll continue to save us. We do put our hope in him, and he will save us again. That's where our hope is at. And then Paul goes on to say this, and you can help us with your prayers. Then many people will give thanks to us because God blessed us because of their many prayers. Folks, we need to be a people who are praying for those who are being persecuted. Praying not that they remove from the persecution, but praying that they stand in the midst of it. And I want you to know, persecution is coming to America here. And you can say anything you want about Christians, but don't dare say anything about any other person, any other lifestyle. You know, in Canada, it's against the law now to be on the radio waves. You couldn't read the book of Romans, because where it talks about fornicators, idolaters, homosexuality, gossips, all those things, that'd be hate speech now. And you'd go to jail. And that's coming more and more. There was a man arrested in Wichita for handing out Bibles out on the street, offering it. Hey, would you like one? No, that's okay. You know, it wasn't being belligerent or anything. And he was arrested for handing out a Bible. Do you know, you go and look back in April, Washington Times has in there where it talks about the military in a reserve training calls evangelical Christians and Catholics the greatest terrorists in America now. Higher than Al-Qaeda, higher than the Ku Klux Klan, the white supremacists. Folks, this is coming. We've had an opportunity where it didn't cost us anything to follow Jesus. We had an opportunity to really grow in him. But you know, we really haven't grown that much in him. The church hasn't grown here. Despite all the blessings we have coming from God, on the ground. And maybe the removal of those blessings is going to cause us to grow. And I want you to know God is more concerned about you growing than about your comfort. Education is a little bit, I've been on a long time here. There's one more video I want to do. Let me just pray one more time. And I'll get out of the prayer. That's important.
To throw up when I was done watching it. It caused me to question everything in my life. I mean, literally everything. Everything about me, everything about church. I mean, when I saw these men of God literally being beaten, I've never seen someone being beaten to death. I've never seen people getting mobbed and literally, I'm not sure that I've even seen death in a violent manner, and when it's the real thing, it just makes you sick. You knew what was going on, but to see it, I can't explain it. To think of people that may lift me up because I have a gift of communication, or some other Christian who has an ability to sing or play an instrument, and how we lift these people up as our heroes or great writers, or when these are the ones that and their lives look like Christ. And see, when we make a popular author or speaker our hero, then it's easy to go, oh yeah, I want to become like him. But then when we look at these martyrs and these people who really have died for the gospel, if we lift them up to be heroes, we have to constantly ask ourselves the question, do I want to be that? When I talk to the people in India that are going through it, they're not asking for money, they're just asking that we remember them, that we would pray for them, because they're saying many people are converting out of Christianity out of fear, because people are saying, look, if you get out of Christianity, we won't do this to you. And so people are scared, and so they're saying, would you just pray for us for courage? And I don't know what emotions go through your mind when you see some of these images, but what they're asking for is, would you channel that toward prayer for us? I mean, you've listened to me speak for 3 or 4 minutes. Could you spend the next 3 or 4 minutes praying for our brothers and sisters in India? Seriously praying for them.
Said a couple things there. One is, who do we esteem? People we esteem, we want to be like. Can't say I wanted to be like Michael Jordan as a kid, because I wasn't a kid the same age as Michael Jordan. But Dr. J, I wanted to be like him. Who do we want to be like? How about these people who are standing in their faith in Christ? Do we want to be like them? He asked us if we might take 3 or 4 minutes to pray. And I'm going to ask that maybe we do that. We're going to do it a little bit different even. I'm going to ask you to stand in a second. And I'm just going to ask you to pray. Normally, we're very polite when we pray. And, you know, Vinny might pray, and then Christy would pray. And we take turns praying. I'm just going to ask that you might pray all at the same time. And I'm going to be doing that too. But we're going to ask God just to strengthen our brothers and sisters, because the reality is they are our brothers and sisters. As my brother's walking through this, as my brother is walking through this thing with his wife, I see great compassion for John. He's my brother. He hurts, I hurt. And I see my nieces and nephew hurt, I hurt. Can we pray that way? So let's stand, and I'm just going to encourage you to do something out of the ordinary, out of your comfort level. I'm just going to ask you to pray out loud, and we're just going to take a few minutes here. We're going to pray for the persecuted church. Lord, we just come before you. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a great way. Lord, I can't imagine what these men and women, these children, these families are facing because they're called yours. Lord, I would hope that I would be a man who would stand and completely follow you even in the face of persecution. I would pray I'm that type of man. I would pray, Lord, that all of us here, Lord, we would be those type of people, Lord. But right now, we pray for those who are experiencing persecution. We pray for this pastor in Iran. Lord, we thank you that he's been there for almost 2 years and 30 people have come to know you. We pray that you strengthen, that you would encourage him. Lord, I pray that you would put it on our hearts, not to just go back our normal, comfortable life, but Lord, we would take every day opportunities to pray for people who are persecuted. We would research, Lord, online about the persecuted church. Lord, that we would send letters to people to encourage them, that we could be those type of people. And Lord, as this time comes, as it seems like you're wrapping up this chapter of the world, this life as we know it, and you're pushing things on to that time, Lord, I pray that we too would become those men and women. Lord, we know the reality of it. Lord, you said that in the end times, the love of many will grow cold. There'd be a falling away of faith. But Lord, I pray that within our congregation here, within our sister churches in this area, Lord, that we would have a strength in you, that we would grow in you, that we'd become strong in you. Lord, that we would walk this path that you have for us and that we wouldn't have people fall away. Choosing, it's easier not to follow Jesus than to live this life. Lord, when Apostle Paul was talking about those troubles that are small, he's talking about persecution. He's talking about life and death. He's talking about hunger, beatings. He's talking about those things. And Lord, they're small in comparison of having you. God, we thank you that you are our benefit. You are our treasure. We thank you, Lord, it's in you that we have our being. Today, Lord, we commit to following after you. You know, and as you have your eyes closed, if you're not so sure about following after Jesus, if you don't know if you that, I would just ask that you would come talk to me, talk to Pastor Greg, find someone. Don't leave here today not knowing Jesus. Because I want you to know he's worth knowing. Not just mentally, but in your heart. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these folks standing and sitting here for so long listening.